Well, amen. It's been a good service. I came home from the Philippines a couple years ago when we went, and I told you that God was working in a tremendous way over there, and people were being saved. And as a matter of fact, I've kind of discovered that there's revival going on all around the world. It's just not happening here in America. We need it so desperately here in America so that people, men will surrender to go and preach the gospel all over the world. It's just not happening here. Korea is a place where thousands upon thousands of people are getting saved every week in Korea. Thailand, India, Burma, Cambodia, the Philippines. I mean, there's revival going on everywhere. It's just dry as cracker juice here in America, where it should be on fire for God. And we have all the resources. We have all the education. I really think in many cases education has ruined us. I really do. I think it's ruined us. I think that it's made us a nation of skeptics and doubters. And we've been so inundated with humanism that we're no longer depending upon the Holy Spirit. And we need to pray for America. So when you go back to your people, please tell them that Pastor North said, pray for America and pray for revival here at our church as well. All right, I know what time it is. So I will be keenly aware of the time, but I do want to share a thought with you. Turn to the book of Proverbs before we go home tonight. I preached from these verses, I don't know, 7-8 years ago, something like that. And I was reading them again this week, and I want to, I have a couple of fresh thoughts here that I want to share with you from the 30th verse, beginning in the 30th verse of Proverbs 24. We all understand that it's subjective, but Solomon was the wisest man that ever walked on the planet. There have been some wise men through the years, but you remember that God told Solomon he could ask for whatever he wanted, and God would grant it to him. And he could have asked for riches, but he didn't. He could have asked for power, but he didn't. He could have asked for the world as a kingdom, but he didn't. He said, Lord, I'd like to have wisdom. And through the wisdom that God gave him, he was able to get just about anything any man could ever want. He used his wisdom to acquire a throne. He used his wisdom to keep a throne. Under Solomon, the kingdom of Israel was the largest that it had ever been and ever will be until the Lord Jesus sets upon the throne of David in the city of Jerusalem during the millennium. And Solomon was able to see things from the simplest of observation that most of us would miss. And that's what the book of Proverbs is all about. It is a book where he watched and observed, and then he wrote the proverb, which is nothing more than a little saying. He wrote the proverb with the intent of teaching a spiritual lesson. And before us tonight are two little verses where Solomon deals with something that most of us have seen many, many times during our lifetime. But have we thought about it in the way that Solomon thought about it? And in verse 30, the Bible says, this is Solomon speaking, he said, I went by the field of the slothful. There was a man that owned a field, and this man was lazy. And he didn't take care of his field. And Solomon said, I went by the vineyards of the man void of understanding. He didn't realize what he had. He had a vineyard that could have produced a lot of fruit, but he didn't take care of his vineyard. And Solomon said that a man that won't take care of his vineyard is a man void of understanding. He doesn't realize what he's got and how beneficial it could be to him. Verse 31 says, and lo, it was all grown over with thorns and nettles, and had covered the face, and nettles had covered the face thereof, and the stone wall thereof was broken down. And I want to share a couple thoughts with you tonight from this passage of Scripture, and entitle my message tonight, The Fool's Vineyard. Let's pray. Our Father, thank you for allowing us to see what our prayers and our support has done in the Philippines. Father, we thank you for the way you've used our brother. Thank you, Lord, for the blessing that he's been to me personally and then to our church as he's come and shared his ministry and shared what you've been doing in his life. And Father, I pray for him, his church, his family, and Lord, just ask you to continue to put your hand upon them and use them in a great mighty way to win many souls to Christ. And now, Father, as we take a few minutes here now and turn our attention to what the Bible has to say about the subject of this vineyard, I just pray that you will help me to condense, be able to say what needs to be said tonight, so that all of us will realize the importance of producing fruit in our Christian lives. Father, bless now and help me, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. It's absolutely amazing to me that there are so many different people on this planet that have multitudes of ability. We have multitudes of opinions and ambitions and actions and aptitude. And yet, there's one area where every one of us are all alike. Whether you are intelligent or illiterate, whether you are profound or simple, whether you are rich or poor, whether you are a hard worker or whether you're a sluggard, whatever category of life and or society you fit, sin always carries with it an expensive price. And it treats every one of us the same way. Always, every single time, sin brings destructive effects upon mankind. And sin always deals with all of us in the same way. It always has a negative impact. You'd think that with all the history that we have on this planet, and with all that God has to say about the subject of sin, you would think that with all we've learned on the subject, that it would be enough to convince us to turn from sin and to turn to righteousness. But someone said that the only thing we ever learn from history is that we never learn anything from history. And that's pretty much the truth, isn't it? Solomon is called the wisest man that ever lived. And he sees something here as he walked down the road. Maybe what he saw was near the palace. I don't know. We really don't know where he saw this field. But somewhere in Jerusalem, probably, he's walking down the sidewalk and he looks over and he sees a vineyard. He sees a man's field. And he notices something as he stands and looks at the field. He walks by what used to be a garden, what used to be a vineyard, and he realizes that a slothful man owns this piece of property. He notices that it has been overtaken by weeds. It has not been cared for by its owner. And he sees that the vineyard is not kept, it is not guarded, and it is neglected to where it is nothing but devastation all over the field. And he says, when I saw this, I learned something. It taught me something. This disheveled vineyard taught me a valuable lesson. I wish that some young people around here would look at the vineyards of those that are in the condition to which, if you don't do something to stop it, you're headed. I really mean that. I wish you'd realize that the direction that you're taking with your heart, the direction that you're taking with your mindset, the direction that you're taking with your attitude is going to lead you to nothing but despair and dissatisfaction in life. I sometimes feel like I need to stand up and just wave the white flag and say, hey, stop. Don't go the direction that you're headed. Because you see, in 28 years of pastoring, I've seen an awful lot of folks go down the road of destruction. There have been those that I have stood in front of and grabbed them and said, don't go this way, but they went anyway. There have been those that have not listened and not heeded the advice. And you talk about them in the past tense today of what they used to be for God. And it's so difficult for me as a pastor to sit and to look out and watch and see and observe and realize that in spite of all the evidence that we see to the destructive power of sin, there are still those that choose to go that route. And I want to just wave and say, hey, don't go there. You don't know what's down this road. I've seen what's down this road. I deal in my office with those that have just got back from where you're headed. And it is not a pretty sight. Don't go there. I wish some of you young adults would realize that God wants you to produce fruit for Him. And just mark it down. Young people, mark it down. Young adult, listen to me now. If you sow your wild oats, it won't do you any good to pray for a good harvest. Sin is going to get you. It always has, and it always will. You see, Solomon knew that a vineyard was supposed to produce fruit. It wasn't supposed to produce weeds and nettle. It was supposed to produce fruit. But when the weeds take over, they steal away the nutrients that the fruit needs in order to produce. And then the next thing you know, the fruit dries up and you've got nothing but a garden of weeds. Same way in the human life.
Yes, sir.
The exact same way in the human life. We are, as believers, to be producing fruit for the Lord. And I want to share just a thought with you that I trust will be an encouragement and will maybe call somebody here to say, you know, I believe the pastor's right.
Amen.
I believe that I'll just stop right now, turn the other direction, and I'm going to go back and change my field into something that will produce for God. I just have one thing I want to share with you tonight, and that is this. A vineyard with thorns and nettles, a vineyard with weeds, is not going to produce fruit. Solomon saw that. Can you imagine the wisest man in the world? He goes walking by and he sees all these beautiful gardens and he sees the vineyards and he sees the grapes, and then he goes one more step around the block and here's some guy's vineyard that has been overtaken because this man is slothful. He doesn't take care of his field. Folks, the lesson is simple. As a believer, you've got to take care of your field. You've got to do it. If you don't take care of your field, what's going to happen? The weeds are going to overtake you. It's just that simple. It's amazing what we can learn from the natural world. And right here is a very valuable lesson. A garden left to itself will produce weeds, briars, thorns, and it won't produce fruit. It'll choke the fruit. Do you know why? You can go all the way back. I won't take the time to do this tonight. I've done it before on several occasions. I won't take the time to do it tonight, but if you go back into your Bible, into Genesis 3, where man first sinned against God, you will read in Genesis 3 that the earth was cursed because of Adam's sin. God placed a curse upon the earth. And man, left to himself, can only produce that which springs from the curse that is upon him. And that's sin. You leave a field to itself, and what's going to happen? That field is going to soon fill up with weeds. It's soon going to fill up with weeds. Your garden will be overrun and overtaken by the weeds, and the weeds will choke the fruit in your garden. And it's the same way with a man. A man left to himself can only produce that which springs from what is natural for him. And that's sin. And a Christian who refuses to produce fruit, a Christian who is not taking care of his garden, not taking care of his vineyard, not taking care of his field, is going to find his life full of thorns and weeds. And the very laws of nature teach us this truth. It clearly shows us that men will have one or the other in our lives. We're either going to have fruit or we're going to have weeds. And Solomon said when he walked by and saw all the other fields that were producing fruit, he came to one that was neglected. And he said, "Oh my, this one is doing nothing but making weeds." And folks, that lesson is so simple, yet it is something that impacts and affects every single one of us. Am I growing? That's the question. Am I growing as a Christian? Am I keeping the weeds out of my life? Is the fruit being allowed to grow in my life? And Christian, I want you to take examination of yourself tonight. What kind of a vineyard do you have? Do you have a vineyard that is producing fruit, or do you have one where the weeds have overtaken and the fruit is no longer there? You say, "Well, Pastor, I want to grow. I want to do something and be something for God." Well, my friend, let me tell you something. It takes work to grow some fruit. I get amazed at what we live out Bachman Valley, and I understand, I think it's as true that the Lippe brothers farm all of that land out there. Is that right? Does anybody know that for sure? They do. And we go out through there. I'm amazed at the work that those farmers do out there in those fields. It is just something to watch. I mean, they'll bring those great big old combines in there and they'll clear that acre upon acre upon acre of fields. And they have corn and beans and all this stuff growing out. And they'll bring those big combines in and just wipe it all out. The next day they come in, they plant a bunch of new stuff. 2 weeks later, all the new stuff's up. I'm amazed at the production that they get out of that ground out there. But you know why they do it? It seems like it's always on Monday morning. I don't know why. But it seems like it's always on Monday morning, my day off. 7 o'clock in the morning, here comes this helicopter. And he just goes back and forth across those fields. And I'm standing at the window saying, "Where are you? I'm going to shoot you out of the air next time you fly through here." And they spray those things. And they tend those things. And they care for those things. And they're always working in those gardens. Why? They're making sure that the vegetables, the fruit is growing and not the weeds. It's a constant effort. It's a constant thing they do. And Christian, let me tell you something. Becoming a mature, productive, fruitful Christian is not automatic. You folks that have a garden or you have flowers around your house, you don't plant the seed and then just lounge around waiting for harvest. No, you take care of it. And God expects us to do the same with our spiritual life, because if we don't, our fields are going to get overtaken by the weeds. Now, how do you take care of it? You know how to take care of it. It's called the Bible, folks. My, just read your Bible. Love your Bible. Learn your Bible. Know your Bible. Meditate upon your Bible. Know the Word of God. This book is how you produce fruit in your Christian life. Just get in the book. You fertilize, you weed, you control the pH, you control the bugs, you water. I mean, it's hard work to grow a garden, but it's also just as difficult in the spiritual realm. That's why you've got to take care of your spiritual condition every day. Amen. You can't just say, well, Sunday, you know, I'll go to church and show up on Sunday and go through the service and then pat yourself on your spiritual back and say, well, I'm good for another week. No, it doesn't work that way. The devil is out there 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and he's trying to do everything in his power to get your fruit to dry on the vine. You need to be in God's house. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, be in the house of God. Read your Bible every day. Just read your love letter from home. Yesterday was our 28th anniversary. 28 years that poor woman's had put up with me. Bless her heart. When I was in my senior year of college, the second time, I was in my senior year of college, she was home, and I was in college. And she'd write me letters. And I would get those letters out of my post office box. I'd walk back to my room, holding those letters, reading those letters, just walking on automatic pilot. I'd get back to my room by the time I got the letter finished. I'd put my books down, jerk my tie off, pull my chair out, sit down, I'd read it again. I'd read that letter again. Wow, look at that. And then after a while, I'd put it in my pocket. I'd do what I had to do, come up, pull that letter back out. Wow, look at there. How many times did she say, I love you? What did she mean by that? Let me get a dictionary and look that word up. You see what I'm saying? It was a love letter from home. It was a love letter from somebody that loved me dearly and that I loved dearly. And I took those letters seriously. That's exactly the way God wants you to do with His book. Just love His Word. This is a love letter from God to you. And it'll guide your steps. It'll speak to your heart. It'll produce fruit. It'll keep the weeds out of your garden. And it'll help you live for God. I'm saying for a Christian, every day is a day to produce fruit and do something for God. And it is imperative that we focus daily on controlling those thorns and thistles. I'll tell you this illustration and I'll close. Several years ago now, I don't know how long it's been, maybe 8 years ago, a fellow that I went to college with at Bob Jones University called me up and said, would you come preach in my church? And I said, he said, we're going to have a sword conference. I got Dr. Smith on Sunday. I'd like for you to come on Monday and Tuesday and preach with him. And I said, let me check the calendar. And it worked out. I could go. So I got on the plane. I flew out there to San Francisco. He told me on the phone, he said, North, bring your golf clubs. He said, I got a man in my church that has a membership at one of the nicest golf courses in all of California. Bring your clubs. We play for free on Tuesday morning. I took my clubs. We got over to number one tee. This golf course was so incredible. You could eat off the fairways. It was that clean and that taken care of. It was amazing. I mean, the tee boxes were just perfect, all except for one thing. When you walked up on the tee box, you noticed that there were these patches of grass that were a different color than the rest of the teas. The teas were in the same grass as what the fairways were made of, but all around, especially on the first four or five tee boxes. And the first one was just, it was just almost completely a different color. And I noticed that when I walked up. I walked up and I said, wow, what's happened to this grass? And Rick looked at me and he said, I don't know, it looks fine to me, it's just a different color. And I said, yeah, I said, it's trimmed, I mean, it's the right height and all, just not the same color. And so we put the ball down, teed off, went to the next one. And whereas the first one was almost completely this brown, dead-looking stuff, the next one was maybe a quarter. And I said, well, here that stuff is again. So we went to the third one, and at the third one, the superintendent of the golf course caught up with us. There was three in our group. We had two carts, three of us playing. He said, can I play the rest of the holes with you guys? We said, sure, come on and play. He said, I'm so-and-so. I'm the superintendent here. And I said, well, good. You can answer a question for me. He said, what? I said, why is this grass different from the grass that's out here in the fairways? And why was the first tee more covered than the second tee, and the second more than the third? And he said, well, you're not going to believe this. And I said, try me. He said, we have a lot of people from Hawaii that come over here to play on this course. And they bring this grass that they use in Hawaii on their golf shoes. And they come out on the first tee and the grass seed falls off on the tee box. And he said, we fight that stuff every day of our lives. And I said, well, there was more of it there. He said, oh yeah, that's the first tee. And they walk around that tee. They're waiting to hit, to drive. They're waiting to tee off. And they walk around that tee and the stuff falls off. Most of it falls off, but some of it gets on the second. Most of that falls off, but some of it gets on the third. He said, by the time you get to seven or eight, you won't see any more of it at all. And sure enough, that was true. That was the truth. We got over to seven and eight, you didn't see any of that anymore. But when we came back in and I went around, I noticed that I looked back over to number one. And here's what he said. He said, we have to fight that stuff every day to keep it under control. And Christian, so must we. In the spiritual realm, we've got to fight those weeds and those thorns every day, or they'll overtake and they'll produce. But you won't like what it produces. So my challenge to you tonight, every believer in this room, let me tell you something, Christian. You're either busy working and keeping your vineyard in good shape, or you're like the slothful man that Solomon noticed. And you've allowed the weeds to crop, to grow and produce in your life. And Solomon saw this slothful man's vineyard, and he applied it spiritually and realized what it is for a shame, or what a shame it is for a man to allow his spiritual vineyard to be taken over by the weeds of sin. Christian, get in the book. Stay in the book. Learn the book. Love the book. This book will keep the weeds out of your life. Bow your heads with me, please. Our Father, we thank you for our time together tonight. It's been a sweet service. Lord, we thank you for your blessing, and I pray now that you'll bless during this invitation time. Lord, just touch our hearts with what we have heard this evening. Help us to understand and to realize that you want us to produce fruit, and not to allow the weeds and the thorns and the nettle to take over in our hearts. Lord, help us to love you and to put you first in all things. In Jesus' name. Our heads bowed, our eyes closed. I wonder, with heads bowed and eyes closed, how many of you here tonight will say, Pastor, God's dealing with my heart tonight. Maybe you saw all that fruit being produced in the Philippines. You saw all that good fruit going on over there and you realize, man, I need to be producing over here. You say, Pastor, I want fruit in my life. I don't want my vineyard to be overgrown with the weeds and the thorns of this world. Pastor, God's speaking to my heart tonight. I'm saved. I know I'm saved. But I'm not producing the fruit that I should be producing, and God's dealing with me. Pray for me, Pastor. Would you raise your hand all over this building and let's pray about that tonight? Let's just pray about that. Yes, God bless you. God bless you, folks. Many, many hands. God bless you. Thank you so much. Now, Father, you know our need tonight. And I pray that you will bless and meet the needs of our hearts. Lord, I think I'm safe in saying that you've allowed me to pastor what is perhaps the greatest church in America. Lord, what a place this is. What a tremendous place. And some of the finest Christian people you ever want to meet are members of this church. Lord, we just need your Holy Spirit to keep working and keep moving. Lord, don't ever let us get comfortable with our spiritual condition. Don't ever let us get comfortable with what we're able to do. Lord, help us to just realize that if we don't stay faithful to you, the weeds and the thorns are going to overtake us. Lord, we've got such an opportunity, and I pray you'll bless. And I pray your Holy Spirit will work and move and do a mighty work tonight in the hearts of your people. Father, many, many hands were raised tonight. Father, speak to our hearts. Draw us, Lord, to our knees in repentance as we yield ourselves and say, oh, dear Lord, help me to produce fruit for your honor and glory. Speak to hearts now, Father, we pray in Christ's name. Amen.